I might as well just let you know that since about 8:30, our conversation amongst the panel members has been going on and talking about what happened yesterday during Super Tuesday. I refer to it as rehearsal, but there's some really good stuff we have to talk about, and we'll continue to do that. Let me introduce everybody. We have a great panel this morning. I'm so pleased that all these individuals have come here to talk about what has been going on, what is going on, and we will do that. We also welcome your letters, panel@WAMC.org, panel@WAMC.org. Investigative journalist Rosemary Armeo is on the road. She is back. Hello.
Hello. I'm back from the heartland of contagion.
King County, Washington.
Six people dead.
Okay.
It looks like it swept through an elder living facility.
Home.
Yeah.
Was everybody freaking out in Seattle?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. The friend I'm traveling with has asthma, was coughing a lot on the plane.
Oh, my God.
He was getting notes from other passengers.
What did the notes say?
I have an extra mask and I have cough medicine if you would like to take it. And
that's
they
nice.
All had surgical gloves and masks on.
That's better than, will you please jump out the window?
Yeah. He was feeling
that's what
like
they were thinking, but at least they were.
Yeah. Our Uber driver had a mask on. He said, I'm not sick. I don't want to worry you. I know it doesn't do anything. It just makes me feel better. Yeah, they're jittery.
Understood. Chris Churchill, speaking of jittery, Chris Churchill is here. I don't know. That doesn't make any sense.
I'm not jittery.
No, I meant we are about you being here. I don't know what that means.
Wow.
But a nice shirt, I can tell you that much.
We are thrilled you are here. Is that your lucky shirt?
I wouldn't call it lucky, but I tend to wear it on Wednesdays. It's my Wednesday WAMC shirt.
Excellent.
It's really the only one you have.
I wear it every day, but you guys only see it on Wednesday.
We love that you're here, and we thank you very much for joining us, as always. We are also thrilled that the Dean of the College of Emergency Preparedness, Homeland Security, and Cybersecurity at the University of Albany, Bob Griffin, is with us. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Joe. And note to Mike Bowen. Burn that microphone after Rosemary's done.
Now, you're with us till 10:30 this morning, and you're going to be the campus is taking on this, talking about coronavirus.
Yeah, at 11 o'clock, we're doing an open town hall in the Campus Center ballroom talking about coronavirus. Yeah. And we've brought together public health and the emergency management folks in the school administration. And it's a great opportunity to come and ask questions and get some good information about what's going on.
Sounds more than reasonable, of course. Yeah, it's a room with a lot of people in it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
we may have to do it virtually, but it's always good to
for
get
now, we
out.
Can get away with it. Yeah. SUNY New Paltz communications professor and former New York State Senator Terry Gibson joins us as well. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning.
And Alan Chartok, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Joe. We always get a chance to chat before the program, and it's always great that we can go on with it. I hear about this program wherever I go.
It's quite terrific, and we are thrilled that that people are listening and that are interested in what we all have to say about what was going on. Okay, so Super Tuesday yesterday, you know, what I love, and I really love this, that we can sit here and all the other pundits and everybody can talk and talk and talk about what's going to happen, and then when reality hits, it's not what anybody expected.
Whoa.
What?
You could go back and you could look at my predictions column and who the candidate would be.
Hold on. Yeah.
How far back are we going on that one?
I'm going into the weeds here of saying that as of yesterday, I don't think any of us would have thought that Joe Biden would have won 9 out of the 14 states.
No.
Nope.
Yes.
Truth.
All right, we'll scour the tape, but still,
Alan, before I leave, can I get the 6 numbers for tomorrow night's drawing?
Sure. my pleasure.
Well, you know, we were worried about we didn't think Texas was going to happen. Minnesota came really
Massachusetts,
and Elizabeth Warren coming in third in Massachusetts. Joe Biden winning the state of Massachusetts. There is a lot that we can discuss.
Or Elizabeth Warren coming in third in Massachusetts.
Elizabeth Warren coming in third. Biden winning. I mean, it really is quite incredible. Ultimately, when it was all said and done, the things have changed. And the other amazing thing here is there are so many storylines that we'll spend all morning doing them. But what does $500 million buy you? American Samoa and not the cookie.
And you don't even get to keep it.
Hey. No, you don't even get to keep it. And you have to share your delegate with Tulsi Gabbard. Which
is she still in the race? I mean, we have big stories. But that's real. Who's giving her money to keep going after all this time? She's won nothing except, you know, her home country.
Yeah, but I mean, that's it.
What Hillary is right.
Okay.
The silence is deafening.
Some people like to be.
I just can't believe of all the things you're fired up about.
No. Well, you know, I've been speaking for half an hour, so it's at the tail end.
Alan had his thing about Tom Steyer. You have your thing about Tulsi Gabbard.
Tom Steyer thing, I just can't explain. Roselle's always asking me, she said, why do you dislike this guy this way?
Yeah, and you can't
describe
it.
I don't know.
Well, I think
sometimes
Tulsi
it's just
Gabbard
visceral.
Is,
you can't really explain it.
Yeah.
I can explain. I think she's an agent. I think Hillary had her right. But before we begin, I want to say that I totally respect the candidates, Buttigieg,
Klobuchar,
and Beto O'Rourke did it. I hope Elizabeth and Bernie will do it today. I mean, I hope they'll do it. That they are dropping out. They are sacrificing for party unity. This is exactly what did not happen with the Republicans and why they ended up with Trump. They had a splintered, fractured opposition, and it never got off. And it may not work. I don't know. But at least they are trying it, and they should get really props for that.
So Biden, just because I said 10 states, but Biden won 9 states. Sanders won 3, and then there were 2 that were too close to call. So just for that. But go
the
ahead.
Big surprise, the big contest, I think, was Texas. Because Texas was expected to go to Bernie, and it didn't. So I think that was quite amazing. And now the question you just raised is fascinating. And that is, do you really think that if Elizabeth drops out, that she's going to drop out in favor of Biden as opposed to Bernie?
I don't know, but it's a two-party race, and she may throw her side to Sanders. Okay, I get that, but it's still—
I'm not saying she will.
Yeah, I don't know. She's
well, what if she stays in? And she is a spoiler, and she takes.
Well, then she's another Bernie. I mean, then she's another. You know, Bernie will be in until the convention, and then some.
Well, but if she stays in until the convention, and then uses her marbles
to what?
You know, to do what? Whatever.
But what marbles? I mean, she doesn't.
She's
got
seven
very
delegates.
Very few marbles.
She doesn't have enough.
I think she's going to drop out. I just can't.
Too.
The big question is. I mean, the one hope that Sanders still has at this point, I think, is that Elizabeth Warren endorses him. And it's kind of the progressive wing against Biden, which I don't think that's going to happen.
Why
but I
not?
Think if, I just don't think, just because
I'll tell you
she'd
why
really
not.
Be putting her... Putting her
I'll tell you why not. They don't like each other. That's why not.
Well, maybe. We don't know that for sure.
Well, we know. We had some hints about that.
And sometimes ideology can trump personal feelings, too.
Yeah, and sometimes personal feelings can trump ideology.
There have also been signs that she doesn't like Biden all that well, either. So who knows how that plays. It's possible she just doesn't endorse anybody.
I want her to drop out and just go on the Colbert Show as a full-time personality. Did anybody see the show she did with her?
From South Carolina?
Oh,
where
my
they went
God.
To the diner?
It was hysterical.
Yeah.
A woman here today, I want to make it clear that I am very sad that starting with such a big, diverse, young field, we are ended up assured that the next president will be another old white guy. I'm very sad about that.
I'm sad about that, too.
I feel a little bit attacked personally by that guy.
You should.
What?
You guys rule,
you
and you always
attack?
Have, and you won't share power. Yeah. You're like the Taliban. Yeah,
but, yeah. Well, I mean, as a person...
For my family who's listening, she really didn't mean that. Don't write it.
Let me just say...
You don't know that, Bob.
As the only Massachusetts person in the room... people in Massachusetts really adore Elizabeth Warren, and I hear it all the time from people. But I think what happened was there was an assessment made as people walked into the voting booth that she can't win. And it would be a wasted vote, and so they wanted to
it's
vote.
It's also the case, though, that in Massachusetts and Maine, the two New England candidates really split the vote, right? I mean, if you didn't have Bernie or if you didn't have Elizabeth Warren both in the race, I think— Either one of them would have won Maine and Massachusetts.
You know,
that wouldn't have changed much about yesterday, but
you know what
Maine
I always say.
Maine went to Biden, who's
not a
New Englander. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. You had two New England candidates splitting Maine's vote,
so that neither of them could get it.
But right, and then and so I mean he. Huh. So I Bernie would have won Maine without Elizabeth Warren. And who
Bernie
knows?
Won with 68% last time, 4 years ago.
Right.
Won Maine. and that's running against Quinn. I understand. Yeah. Right. No, I'm yeah. helping.
Oh,
I'm,
I see, yes.
I'm bolstering.
To
your
which
point.
I always
just assume everyone's arguing. Yeah, with
no, no, no. But I agree with you, Chris.
But to which I always say, Chris, if Schmiff. I mean, the fact of the matter is you can do
no,
that.
No, I'm not
you
saying that.
That
yeah,
all day
but,
long. Yeah.
But that, I think that's a big part of what happened in Massachusetts.
Yeah, but remember, the Bloomberg has done the same, did the same
oh,
thing
I know.
In
I
southern
know.
States to Biden
right,
as well.
I understand
so
that.
So you get that point. Yeah. You know, Joe, one of the things that made me feel good, and I'm feeling really good this morning.
You are?
I am.
Why?
Actually, because I was heartened by yesterday. I was heartened
oh,
by
yeah,
yesterday.
I get it.
For the numbers, watching people stand in line for 7 hours to vote.
That shouldn't hearten you. That should anger you.
No,
I mean,
no,
that's really
just
have
let me finish. Hold on, guys.
Ridiculous
let me finish.
That happens.
It may be ridiculous, but what it shows me is that there is a burning desire to have their voice heard, and I think that bodes really well for the election. I think it bodes really poorly for the Republicans. But I was heartened to see a level of enthusiasm and outpouring, and I do think it bodes well for November.
There are so many storylines that came out of Super Tuesday. We knew this would be the case. However, let's just look at a few of them. One is that from the exit polls that were taken, we learned that almost 50% of the people made their decision in the last 24 to 36
yeah.
hours. That's interesting because it said that Sanders support was not strong, and because of whether it would be Klobuchar and Buttigieg giving the endorsement to Biden, that and of course mm-hmm. Biden's surge, that he would become their choice. The other thing too that I think is really interesting, especially out of Texas, the numbers that Bernie had from the young voters, and we keep on hearing about this, the young voters, they did not come out yesterday.
But the Hispanic population did.
The Hispanic population came out, even although less so in Texas than in California. And the other thing that I think is fascinating about it is that you look at the African-American population
yeah,
where you have in Virginia was, what, 78% or something?
Yeah.
And, I mean, that is
Biden
really amazing.
Joy Reid, MSNBC, not my favorite commentator, but I think she's right on about this, said that Biden was the first choice of the overwhelming African-American population, particularly in the South. This was a white man who was willing to play second fiddle to a black man, strong supporter. He's comfortable. He is the anti-Trump, and they wanted him. Then they start to slip. As he was doing so poorly, and they were looking, shopping around for other people. They looked at Bloomberg. And then he did South Carolina. That endorsement was huge. I had no idea it would have that impact. And now they've
with
come
Clyburn.
Home. And now they've come home.
Yeah.
I think the endorsements are huge for Biden because, I mean, he was.
Right.
You know, 9 months ago, this result would not have surprised us to find out that Biden was ahead a little bit and Bernie was close behind him. But.
I mean, that's to Alan's point earlier. About, I mean, a lot of us said that. Biden, you know, Biden would be the would be the candidate.
I mean, these two guys. I said this last week. These two candidates are the ones with the highest personal favorability among Democrats. It makes sense they would be the last two standing. But I think what happened with Biden is people started to worry about his decline. They worried about his cognitive decline, which is still an issue. I don't think that should really be overlooked. But to have
sometimes you mix up your sister and your wife. Go ahead.
Yeah. But to have other Democrats come out and say, despite that, we still think. He's up for the job, I think, really was meaningful.
Well, and then there's Trump, who has lowered the bar. I think a whole lot of the voting you're seeing is anti-Trump sentiment, not pro-name your Democratic
candidate.
Kind of
get rid of him.
And the last 2 weeks, when he's been such an idiot about coronavirus and put Pence in, who has not done much better, they're shutting down, you know, what's his name, Fauci. All of that, people are watching that, and they're saying, no, no, reassure me, and Biden is a reassuring candidate.
Sorry, Rosemary.
No
yes,
question.
That's
I missed
sure.
that last thing, shutting down the...
Yeah, they're shutting... Here's the voice. This doctor who
yes.
is... He's been there for 27 years.
Oh, yeah.
If anybody knows infectious disease, he's calm, he's reasonable, he's scientifically grounded, and Trump is saying the opposite of what he does right in the same meeting. That's not going unseen, but even by Trump supporters.
That's because this administration thrives on denying the American public the truth. They
right.
want to be in control of molding the reality that they want you to believe.
Well,
which is never
right.
actually
when people get when people get scared, they want calm, they want reassurance, and,
yes.
and Biden is a calming and reassuring candidate, and he's not promising revolution or dramatic change or anything
right.
like that. But those can also be weaknesses as the general election goes forward too. That if you're not promising anything but just kind of a return to the status quo. How do you gin up excitement?
Well, you do, because there's a whole range of people, Congress people, who will lose their offices, senators who will lose their offices, mm-hmm. if Bernie is the candidate. And they all knew that, which is why all these endorsements are happening right now. Mm-hmm. Because if you lose, think about this, folks, if you lose the House of Representatives, which is a possibility if Bernie were the candidate, if you lose the House of Representatives, and I like Bernie, if you lose the House of Representatives, you have, in fact, think about what has gone on with the impeachment and everything else that has happened here. It would be a disaster.
Yeah, the other piece, though, Ellen, is that Bernie Sanders and his supporters can't say that this is the Democratic or party elite that is blocking him. This was
but
you can't, because this was a clear statement from the voters. Mm-hmm. And I think that was one of the other things that both surprised me and heartened me about restoring my faith in sort of a lot of the American ideals and the American voter. That wasn't the elites that were standing in line in all of these places. These are rank and file peasants like we are, and their voice was heard. And Sanders and his supporters need to listen to that.
You'll get over that by the end of the day.
I want to respond to Chris talking about you have to have great ideas and a new program or you won't move forward in the general. If coronavirus continues, there is real fear about it. It's like terrorism threat in after 9/11, and you don't need that then. You really do need reassurance. We're going to go back to normal. No craziness. Biden could pull that off.
He could, and all that is great, but I still think you do need some big ideas kind of pushing your campaign forward. I don't really know, besides just kind of returning to normal, I don't really know what a Biden presidency would be.
Well, it would be healthcare would be Obamacare Absolutely. Improved, which is very comforting to more people than support Medicare for All, although I am a supporter of Medicare for All. I think Obamacare improved, which he pushes
the
is good.
The exit poll showed that, too, that a lot of people support Medicare for All, but they don't believe it can happen.
Right. So that is one thing. He also does not have the advanced programs of especially Warren, but also Sanders on environment. But he is open to all that. He is friends with all the people who are supporting that. So I don't see him being a problem. We'll be back in the Paris Accord
Thank you very much. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. Pat Bradley, also our North Country correspondent, is going to join us. She was at the Bernie Sanders rally last night covering the Vermont senator, cool. So we'll get that.
What we need is a new politics that brings working class people into our political movement, which brings young people into our political movement, and which in November will create the highest voter turnout in American political history.
Bernie Sanders speaking last night to his supporters in Burlington, Vermont. Our North Country correspondent Pat Bradley was in the room. Pat, good morning. How are you? Welcome to the panel.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
We're well, and thank you very much for joining us. I know it was a late night last night, and we thank you for being here early and joining us. So what did you make of the mood in the room? Obviously a big win in Vermont, but not as big as they were hoping across the board.
Well, they were still very enthusiastic. They had a long evening waiting for Bernie to take the stage. They opened the doors at about 7:30, and folks had been waiting outside prior to that. And Bernie didn't actually speak until 10 o'clock. So, they were still very enthusiastic. Over the course of the evening, there was a band that played, and the band is composed of a couple of former members of Phish. I don't know if you're familiar with that band.
Bob used to follow him around in a van. Yeah, we know.
Well, actually, that was the Dead.
Bob still, and still follows him around.
And I actually did, believe it or not.
So that was a rather popular and that kind of kept the crowd, up and happy and stuff to have this little mini concert going for a little while. And then you had some of the Democratic leaders in Vermont come out and make a few speeches. State treasurer is a Democrat. The Vermont Attorney General made a speech. And the progressive lieutenant governor, who actually runs under the Democratic banner, also came out and made a speech. And actually, I think a couple of their speeches were longer than Bernie's in the long run.
Well, I'm glad you're not bitter about that. So the question is, though, when you look at that was all going on in Vermont, but in the rest of the country, Bernie wasn't doing as well as was expected. And I'm just curious as to, you've been covering the guy for a long time, for many, many years, of what this means going forward, and how you spin this the best way. Look, he didn't have a horrible night, but he didn't have the night that they were hoping for.
No, but he doesn't give up. He's not a guy who backs down. He will keep going. He will see the night as a victory. And, you know, I mean, he took California, which is a lot of delegates. And, you know, he, even when he spoke last night, not knowing what many of the West Coast results would be, California and some of those states, he was still saying, you know, going to go to the White House. You know, we are going to continue. So, you know, you're not going to see him back out of this campaign, I don't think.
Well, why would he? I mean, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Pat, this is Bob Griffin. Do you have a perspective on what he will do if Biden wins the nomination? Do you feel that he will come in to the coalition against Trump, or will he be on the sidelines?
And at what level, Bob? In other words, how vigorous will he be?
Good question.
Why would he? I have an answer to the comment that Chris had, because to do so would give one candidate right now, bring the Democratic Party back together, and get Trump out of office. Bernie could do that.
Well,
and he could also promote all of his programs. So everything he stands for, he could promote by negotiating a position on the cabinet or in the new administration.
And Pat, just for panel etiquette, just feel to jump in at any point
and just talk over
the people. I'm not sure if Bernie right now has really thought about, if he doesn't win the nomination, where he's going to position himself for the general election. Because I think he's so focused on, I'm going to win, that that's his focus. I think, you know, his best strategy would be to join the Democratic coalition to get Trump out of office, from the perspective of all of the Democrats and a lot of folks. I mean, there were a lot of people in line saying, we need to get Trump out of office. And at least one guy I talked to said, I'll vote for anybody as long as it will get Trump out of office.
I don't have any doubt that Bernie will do that eventually. I mean, he was a – people deny it all the time, but he was a fairly enthusiastic Hillary supporter in 2016. I just don't know that he has to do it on March 4th or 3rd, whatever the day is right now. I mean, he's roughly equal, and California is all counted. They'll be roughly equal in the delegate count. He'll be behind in the popular vote by 200,000 or 300,000 people, but not some massive insurmountable number. He doesn't have an easy road ahead. I think what his spin will be is, now it's a 2-person race. We'll have a real discussion about ideas and who can best beat Trump. But I think if he loses, he'll accept that and lose. I don't have.
And
any
he can't
doubt
be thinking,
that.
Chris.
Just
I'll
like
do
he
it.
Did with I'll, Hillary.
He no, can't he be supported thinking. Hillary vigorously. I don't under 42 campaign. What more is he supposed to do?
He can't be thinking, I'll do it next time.
Rosemary is having a stroke.
I
have a question for Pat. This is Terry. Pat, since you're there and you witnessed this last night and you've been following him, I'm just curious, are you seeing him begin to change his tactics in terms of how he attacks Joe Biden? And what do you think How far do you think he's willing to go in ramping up his attacks against Joe Biden to try to win this primary?
He last night kind of took digs against his primary opponents, but he didn't name them. It was obvious who he was talking about, but he didn't, you know, say their name. So I'm not sure how much he will ramp up the attacks as the rest of the Democratic, cadre of candidates thin out. I think his concern is getting rid of Trump, and perhaps as we get closer to the convention, the idea of, the splitting the Democrats is going to compromise the idea of getting Trump out of office.
I think we have a sense of where he may go in just in the next few weeks. He's going to hit Biden on Medicare and Social Security.
That's because it goes against his underlying philosophies, and that's another reason why I don't think he's going to jump out of the race. He's going to stay in the race until the convention, because much like the last time he ran, he's going to use it as leverage to make sure that his policies are included in, the platform.
It goes against his underlying philosophies, but it also kind of targets his big weakness, which is older voters, right? I mean, if only people under 50 voted, he would be the nominee in a landslide. But he's just getting hurt with older voters.
Percentage of numbers.
Right. Yeah. So if he makes Biden's, past suggestions that he was willing to cut Medicare and Social Security a key issue, he probably figures, well, maybe I can cut into that older vote a little bit.
Pat, in the few moments that we have left, I'm also curious of what do you make about Elizabeth Warren in this and the neighboring state of Massachusetts? Do you think she goes ahead? And if not, does she support Joe Biden or does she support Bernie Sanders?
I just get this. I don't know that much about Elizabeth Warren because I've been following Bernie so much, but I get the sense that Bernie and she do not get along. So I have I just get this sense she would support Biden.
Yeah. Now that was Alan's point earlier.
Yeah, I think she would too.
We don't really know.
No, we don't know.
All I know is she came in third in my state of Massachusetts. Third. Which is extraordinary because people love that woman. They really do, and they have great respect for her. But when they were walking in there, I think that the issue, as you suggested, Pat, was we got to have somebody who can win.
Pat Bradley is in the North Country. She is one of our best, absolute best reporters, and we love her very much, and we thank you so much for being with us this morning. I'd say get some rest, but I know you have a deadline for noon. So we'll let you get to that, and I thank you very much for being with us as always.
Take care, guys.
Thank you very much. Pat Bradley in the North Country. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Alan has a nice stack of letters. We'll get to those and your thoughts. Panel at WAMC.org.
Up a lazy river where the robin's song awakes a brand new morning we can loaf along. Blue skies up above, everyone's in love. Up a lazy river, how happy you can be. Up a lazy river with me.
Listening to Nellie Mackay, who will be performing on Sunday, March 8th at Helsinki Hudson, helsinkihudson.com. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Chris Churchill, Terry Gibson, and Bob Griffin. We welcome your letters panel at WAMC.org. And we got a lot. Let's go.
Okay, this comes from Luigi, who writes this quite often, delegate distribution. Because Bernie won California, does that mean he gets all the delegates from
the
state? Wait, I'm not done yet.
Sorry.
Or are they divided?
Well, it's a question. We can answer it.
You'll answer it at the end.
All right.
Or are they divided among candidates according to the percentage of votes they got? Go.
It's, they're not divided exactly by percentage, but they're not. It's not a winner-take-all system like the Republicans have.
No, it isn't. Yeah. It isn't. And which is why I think it was truly a great night for Biden last night.
And
because not only did he get, not only did he win Texas and win those all of those southern states, but he also won a lot of delegates in California.
But you could also say that if they did it, if the Democrats did it the way that the Republicans do it, which is winner-take-all, Biden would be. There'd be no contest at this point.
Hey, Chris, keep saying this to you. If Schmiff.
No, I'm just saying.
If an elephant flew through the room and let loose, we'd all have dung all over
That's
us.
How we got Trump as a nominee. The fact that Republicans, the fact that Republicans do it differently is how we got Trump as the nominee on that side, because he was able to rack up big delegates, even though he was only getting 25% of the vote.
Fair enough.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Next letter.
Oh, next letter. Thank you, Joe.
Here to help.
Here we go. And we heard from Margarita, Biden in cognitive health. Over the last year, Biden's gaffes have become worse and more frequent. He looks confused. It's not outside the realm of possibility that he's failing cognitively. Can we please hear this acknowledged on the panel? If he's on track to be the nominee, then the media needs to discuss this. Let that discussion start with the panel, Margarita. And I believe Margarita, I think it's fair to say, is a follower of Bernie Sanders.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, a lot of people have been concerned about that. I said that earlier. That's why the
we have been discussing.
That's why the endorsements were so important for him, because it was this kind of stamp of approval from other people who seemingly know him better than we do.
His vice presidential choice is vital because of that. And old white guy, I bring back my comment on that. And we don't seem to mind cognitive dissidence. We put up with Reagan and now with Trump.
As Arlo once said of Reagan, I like it when the president sleeps.
Yeah. Yeah, he napped through, we only got the Alzheimer after he left office, right? And
I think part of the challenge, though, is that so if it is true, and I'm sure these are going to be the stones that are being thrown by both the Republicans and Sanders support. Mm-hmm. But remember, Sanders' health isn't great either. Right. I mean, he just had a heart attack. Mm-hmm. I mean,
five
it's not
ago.
So. I mean, you're dealing with I read an article about the imperfect candidate, and I think that's really what we're dealing with, is that there isn't a perfect candidate. We've just got to figure out what we can do to get something that's way better than what we've got right now.
Yeah. The debate. Yes. On March 15th is going to be a massive test for Biden, because it may just be him and Sanders. And if you've watched any of the debates so far, it has always looked like Biden is eager to get his turn over with, because he wants to stop talking so he doesn't say anything embarrassing. When it's just the two of them and he has to speak for 45, 50 minutes instead of 10 or 13, which he's been getting in these really crowded debate stages, that's going to be a big test. And he better seem up for it, because that's what it's going to be when he's up against Trump, right? So he better do better than he's been doing. And he better remember, what state he's in.
He did very well the last debate. And the truth about debates is, unless you have a disaster, Bloomberg, it doesn't matter. So he doesn't have to. He has to do well as he did in the last debate, and he can. Bernie's
right.
Everything Bernie has ever said has been said a billion times. Yeah. He can rehearse this.
That's what I was going to say. Is it's the easiest candidate to rehearse against, because you know exactly what Bernie's going to say. It's just like autoplay over and over and
right.
over.
But what I'm saying is, this will be a very different situation than it has been in the previous debates, where you only get a certain amount of speaking time. I mean, it's going to be much more of a true debate.
Well, Chris,
I don't think Bernie's that great of a debater.
I want to go back to the cognitive thing we were talking about. But Biden has released his health records in December. Just saying. Bernie Sanders.
I think Bernie actually is a pretty good debater.
Do you think so?
He stays
on point.
He knows how to pivot. He knows how to spin. He knows how to make... he knows how to answer the question he wants to answer.
Well, but the American people
that's very
want,
important.
Well, here's
the American
question.
People want a sort of comfort level. And I'm not convinced that you're right, Chris, that if Biden isn't a first-class debater, that he loses.
It's not about being a first-class debater. It's just seeming like you are all there. I mean, I'm not saying he has to—and here's another thing. What if Elizabeth Warren is still on that stage? I mean, she is a good debater. She could carve them both up the way she could do to them or either one of them what she did to Bloomberg.
Yeah, but what does it do?
Yeah, but she's
it
only
doesn't do anything for her.
Only
but
a
it could
spoiler
certainly,
now.
Oh, I know.
She's a spoiler.
I know.
So is Bloomberg a spoiler? So the whole point
but
is why would they stay?
If you were her, knowing that you're the best debater in the bunch, would you stick around for that one last final kind of element?
Not if I'm serious about getting
rid
of
party unity.
Yeah.
Right.
If I'm serious about getting rid of Donald Trump, I don't stick around.
Kimberly writes to us, Jim Crow, Texas. Please discuss the hundreds of polling places that have been closed in Texas to keep people of color from voting.
So that's a really interesting letter, and I agree with that. What we're starting to see is decades and certainly an accelerated effort, particularly by the GOP, to suppress voter access particularly in the minority community, people's ability to vote. It's one of the most un-American elements of the GOP's action.
But it's the Trump plan. That's what
it absolutely
been doing all
is.
Along.
It absolutely is. They make it difficult for college students to vote. They make it almost impossible for lower income socioeconomic folks to vote. And it really affects the minority population disparately.
And you don't want Hispanics coming across the border. It all adds up to what Keep America White is all about.
Yeah, and it's an excellent point by the letter writer.
Yeah, okay. And then Super Tuesday question. Good morning, panel. Politics 101 question. The delegates for the candidates who stepped down, Pete and Amy, what happens to them at the convention? Who gets them? We assume Bernie or Joe Biden. Can these delegates switch to Joe or Bernie at the convention? Thanks, and that's from Ruth. And the answer to that, of course, is
second ballot.
Initially, they have to vote. They've got to support those candidates, and then the second ballot, they're free to vote their whoever they want. So the first ballot vote, if you are a Klobuchar representative, would have to go to Klobuchar.
It's not talking about a big number of delegates at this point, anyways. It's relatively. I don't forget how many they have, but it's in the single digits.
And it's traditionally, if you're,
it's like the one vote from American Samoa is not gonna throw the whole race.
Yeah. But in traditionally, the if you are, just to use this as an example, if you are a Klobuchar delegate, and Klobuchar has endorsed Biden, then that delegate would vote for Biden. That's traditionally how it's done, but they're not required.
They're not required to, right?
And we have also heard from Lisa, who writes, Joe, I'm so proud of Biden. Waiting for Trump and the Republicans to start in with Hunter in 3-2-1.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Well, you know that, right? I mean, that's going to happen.
Yeah, well.
But
it's also a vulnerability because he shouldn't have done it.
But also, if it's not that, and
they'll make something else up.
Well, if it were against Biden, it would be commie Bernie, right? I mean, it's going to be something against whoever he runs against.
Yeah, the thing about Biden is he's been in office so long, it's like Hillary, that he is completely vetted. And all the bad stuff is out. Unlike Hillary, he has a lot less of it. He has the terrible vulnerability on Hunter. But that's about it. And support for pharma.
That.
Yeah, they'll bring that up.
Well, there was a plagiarism scandal. There was stuff about meeting Nelson or getting arrested. He has a tendency to tell exaggerated tales.
But that's all been out already for a while.
There's nothing new and shocking there.
Yeah. He's carrying some baggage.
And this is a good morning from Joel in Blooming Grove, who I think waits for this program and writes us every day. And we appreciate that, Joel. Bernie Sanders insists he can beat Trump. That's a fever dream. For the good of the Democratic Party and for the good of the country, Sanders should put aside his ego, withdraw from the race, and support Biden, who actually can beat Trump. It would be a mitzvah. But as Alan would say, it ain't going to happen.
Well, is it really realistic that a candidate who is not a Democrat is capable of playing a lead role in unifying the Democratic Party? Is that possible?
You know, it's I'm not going to answer that question, but I would just to add on to that question, which is one of the things in the exit polling that showed yesterday is that people were looking for an established Democrat. They did not want to vote. Many of the people who came out and said that they were voting because they wanted to vote for a Democrat.
But you know what also was interesting about the exit polls is there was pretty broad support for the things that Sanders wants to do.
Yes. That's right. Yes. We all are for that.
He's and accomplished a lot.
He's really moved the ideology of the party in his direction dramatically. And it really is something, I mean, and I think Biden should be careful not to just dismiss. I mean, he tends to be a little bit dismissive of things like Medicare for All and some of the, you know, some of the ideas that Bernie is putting forth, kind of like treating them like, oh, you know, you and your pipe dreams, you kids. And I think if he does that, if he's got to be careful about that, because he can't alienate younger voters and poorer voters, which, you know, I think Hillary did to a degree.
And I'm going to follow up on that, Chris, because I think you're spot on. I think in order to be successful, not only the presidential ballot, but in the down ballot votes all the way to the governorships, they're going to need the enthusiasm of both the moderate and progressive wings of the party. And they're going to need the Latino vote. They're going to need the younger student vote. To come together, it's going to be critically important.
I think Biden has to make that his brand, that he is going to unify the party. He is not going to dismiss anyone. He's going to accept new ideas that go beyond his own generation. That's why his vice presidential choice is key, and his openness to ideas from the progressive wing, it's huge.
I think he would be really smart to adopt one or two of Bernie's policies, you know, free college or something.
Put Bernie into the administration. You know, Bernie, I never wanted him for president ever. I still don't. But I do not dismiss his ideas, which I support almost every one of them. I do. So, okay. But as a senator, he has not been effective in putting those in place. In an administration, a Democratic administration, eager to move forward from a Trump era, he could be huge. And, I mean, it would be up to Biden to negotiate that. And I don't see him doing that right now because Bernie's still tasting the possibility of a presidency.
Anyway, we also heard from Barbara, who said, Biden, Corona. In some weird way, the Corona scare is helping Biden. As uncertainty and nervousness rises around the virus, people are looking for stability and certainty. Yeah. That leads to Biden, not Bernie.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that, you know, everybody, one thing that most people agree on is that the role of the state, and when I say by state, I mean government at large, is protecting its people. And if the people feel that the government can't protect them or keep them safe, that's the quickest way to lose confidence. Yeah. I think the coronavirus is an incredible wild card in this whole election.
It is.
If you start to see the spread, I mean, what happens to
you
rallies?
You will see the spread.
When you see the spread, what happens to things like rallies. I mean, what happens to that sense of security that, you know, frankly, we've enjoyed for a really long time?
What happens if one of the candidates gets it?
What happens to elections?
About older men,
What happens to polling places?
Yeah. So I think there's an awful lot that the emergency management and government and government officials are going to have to think through with this disease.
Well, while we're on the subject, and since you're talking to a huge crowd, all of whom may be infecting each other at SUNY, perhaps Bob, you could tell us. What we should be doing, because I think everybody is asking that question.
Yeah. So a lot of it is very basic hygiene. Wash your hands. I saw the Purell bottles. I see the Clorox wipes. I'm not endorsing any brand, but it's that type of cleanliness. It's time to stop shaking hands when we meet people. At best, elbow bump, but it's okay to wave. If you don't feel well, do something that we never do, which is stay home. I mean, I'm looking at Alan and Joe, and you guys corpse crawl yourself in even when you're sick, and we're going to have to think differently about how we work. I will continue to advocate that everybody should.
I just crawl because I don't have knees. But go ahead.
Yeah. Well, actually, you got better knees than anybody here right now. You're like the radio bionic man. Everybody should have an ample supply of medication that they're on. They should have some food and water. They should be able to prepare to be able to take care of themselves in a situation if this comes.
With that, we're going to take a break. We have Ray Graff with news, and we'll continue and do another round. We have many more letters. We welcome yours, panel at WAMC.org.
The best things in life.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this morning. Alan Chartok, Terry Gibson, Bob Griffin, Chris Churchill, Rosemary Armeo. I'm Joe Donahue. We have your letters, too. We welcome yours. panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org. We will go back to the letters as we talk about what happened on Super Tuesday.
Josh from Athol, Mass., not New York, but Massachusetts.
Be careful with that town.
Yeah. Right.
Sounds like you have a list.
Good morning. Can you speak for a moment about the idea of Elizabeth Warren staying in the race just so the debate is not just among three old white guys? Thanks. Josh from Athol.
Well, we talked about that a little bit already. I mean, how good she would be on that debate stage with a smaller crowd and really getting a lot of time to speak, but...
We've had enough of tokens. Get out of the race, Elizabeth.
You want her to get out of the race,
yes.
But what if she gets out and,
I don't
endorses,
want her to debate.
And endorses Sanders? You won't be happy about that.
Yes, I would not. I want her to endorse Biden, I admit. However, I think endorsing Sanders and getting out of the way and letting those two men get up there and debate, as you pointed out earlier, is what we need to hear right now.
I
was impressed by Amy Klobuchar, who really does not want Biden in there. She really believed in herself. I thought she ran a great campaign. I really like her.
I agree.
I hope she'll be back. She did a courageous, and she did it graciously.
It was
beautiful.
Both Buttigieg and Klobuchar did it beautifully. Yeah,
you know, my mother always talks about you do your duty, and you can do it and be miserable and crabby about it, or you do it with graciousness. And that's the difference between Sanders' support of Hillary and Klobuchar's support. And I want Elizabeth to do the same thing.
With all that said, it was an easier move for Klobuchar than it is for Warren.
I agree.
She was probably going to lose her home state, and she didn't want... Well, what Warren is suffering right now. And two, because she was aligned ideologically with Biden, so it was a very easy transition. Warren's in a tough spot where a lot of her voters are going to be angry either way.
Yeah, I get that.
I know I'm being a bit wistful, though. I would actually pay money to watch a Warren-Trump debate. I mean, that would be like political MMA.
Oh,
that would be so much fun.
It would have been
I would... think that would be great.
Yeah, it would be good.
And you know, just look about it. Yeah, she's had a huge one way or the other. She's had a huge impact on the race. I mean, what she did to Bloomberg really stopped the momentum that he. I mean, you could argue that what happened yesterday for Biden happened because of Elizabeth Warren stopping the momentum that Bloomberg seemed to be.
I'll tell you what did in Bloomberg. Yeah. Bloomberg did in Bloomberg. I was a big fan. But when I saw him in that debate, he was terrible.
That's not a letter, but just so you know.
But Warren did make him even more terrible.
Yeah, the Saturday Night Live profile was fabulous.
Right. It was like a knockout blow at the beginning, and she
just kept going.
He never recovered.
Yeah, he never recovered.
Anyway, we read Josh from Athol's letter, and now Justin says drop out. Who would Rosemary like Warren drop out and support when the race is divided? I'm not willing to settle the same old, same old. My vote will count one way or another. 2016, round two. What does that mean?
We see some of the repetition of the same thing that happened. And I see your point. I'm a Warren supporter, but I've decided I'm going to vote for Biden. I would like her to support Biden because that's my candidate now. But either way, to support Sanders is completely justifiable, and then you get down to where the race really is. It's between those two guys.
But if you are going into a general election and the Sanders people are disaffected, will that make a difference in terms of who wins the presidency?
Yes. But I don't think – well, yes. Yeah, that would make a huge difference. Yeah. That would make a huge difference. People kind of ignore how what a role Jill Stein played in that election. I mean, if you reduce that third party vote,
we don't hate
Hillary
anymore.
Wins in all sorts of. You shouldn't hate her. That's ridiculous.
Well, that's very interesting. But, Joe admonished Rosemary and said, "We don't hate anybody." And Rosemary looked at him and said, "Yes, we do."
But the point is that she got a lot of disaffected people, and if you reduce that number, you obviously help Biden out.
And at some point, both the Sanders Biden camps are going to have a conversation about trying to limit the intra-party food fight, because you're now playing into the hands of the Republicans, and that's a not saying that you can't present your positions, but it's the personal ad hominem attacks going to have to be controlled.
What I think should happen for the next month or so, however long it is, have a real good debate about these two, the moderates versus the progressives, or however you want to define it, and just see what people want, And it sure looks like Biden will come out on top when that does happen, but. And don't make it personal. Right. Yeah.
For 1 minute, is there a way Bernie can still pull this off? He has hope, but I don't. I mean, when I look at it, there's not another big California that I can see him winning.
Unless,
so
of course,
how
it depends what you mean by pull it off.
Unless, of course,
get the nomination.
Well, he could easily end up with a plurality of delegates. I don't know that he could have the whatever the threshold is to get it on the first ballot.
He could, yeah. Unless of course the Biden messes up badly.
Yeah. Right. I mean,
which is always a possibility.
We'll see where things are when California finally bothers to count all its votes. But they could be, at the end of today, they could be relatively close in the delegate count.
Well, they are. Yeah.
Chris
Kornacki
projected.
They could be tied. They could be literally tied.
That won't happen.
Chris Kornacki projected that even if California went totally a landslide for Bernie, Biden would still be ahead by at least 13 to 20 delegates. So it's a virtual tie at that point.
Well, it is right. Important to point out that Bernie, as Chris mentioned, he is, if anything, he is steady. He has always been steady. I mean, he is reliable, steady. His message is consistent. He is always there in the same capacity, never wavers. Joe Biden, on the other hand, you never quite know what you're going to get on any given day. And I think that could factor in
and
as a wild card.
Bloomberg also just suspended his campaign.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
That's also, amazing. Terry, his people are steady. They get the 25-30% is always there.
Go.
Bloomberg,
the news.
Biden went way up and way down, and you know, there's a little bit more uncertainty there.
Yep. True.
Okay. Moving right ahead. No.
All right. No. I'm. So Bloomberg, $500 million spent.
Well, can we just for a minute? We haven't talked about this much, but let's appreciate the fact that we have proven that actually the American people are paying attention, and it's not as easy to buy an election as we thought it might be.
Thank God for that.
We thought
you
it might be possible.
You talked about faith in the voters. That is a really
it's
nice.
Just not
I,
as
I
easy
am,
as we
I am not
be.
Encouraged because if he had done anything less than disastrous, been anything less than horrible at that debate, he could have bought the election.
I'm not sure about
he
that.
Was,
I'm
he's
not sure
right
about
on
that.
The
he
edge.
Was, Mary. He was just terrible.
I'm not
I
sure
think
about
that's
that.
What did it.
Yeah.
Well, and people started looking at his policies too, and I think people were a little bit disquieted by what they saw there.
But I mean, if Are you saying, Rosemary, that I mean, if he had done well in both debates,
we would not be having this discussion. He'd be in the race. Well, it was so close, Chris. I knew nothing. You should take comfort in the fact that he's out.
Except that South Carolina played such a huge role in terms of establishing momentum.
What if he'd been on the ballot there?
What'd you say?
Steyer
what if he had been on the
another,
ballot?
Another,
there?
Another,
I have said
another
to you
millionaire,
many times, Chris,
wise.
If Smith.
No, I know, but yeah. It's,
but if he would have done good in the debate, it would have been because he was a good candidate and a good debater, which is what it takes to obviously move forward in this race to some degree. And it wouldn't have necessarily been just because of his
part
money.
Of why he couldn't.
Can I just want to interrupt just for a second. The second part of this, because Bloomberg News is reporting this.
Wow.
Hopefully they would.
It's the first scoop.
What's the byline?
Yeah,
so they get Mike Bloomberg.
But the other part of this that is, I mean, I think this is expected. However, Michael Bloomberg is suspending his presidential campaign. He will be endorsing Joe Biden after failing to persuade Democratic voters that he was the best choice to defeat Trump.
Okay, endorsement is great. How about
the money?
Financial
money.
Support?
Let's see
money.
The money. Show me the money.
He'll put some money into it.
Anyways, I was going to say the part of the reason he was so bad in the debate stage is because he couldn't defend his policies. He couldn't defend his past actions.
I just don't think he spoke with the passion and the ability.
It's not that,
that a candidate should
it's not
do.
That money doesn't matter. It's like a soda. You can get people interested in it. You can get them to even try it. But if they don't like it, they're not coming back.
Exactly.
Okay, so we heard from Ricky of Troy. I was happy to see his surge. I think it demonstrates the need to beat Trump. Despite Bernie's attempt to bring in younger voters, they still do not come out in great numbers.
Yep.
Every time I say that, there's always a professor on the thing saying, well, my students are going out.
Not today, Alan.
I find the, quote, middle comforting, but I am disappointed in the young. Ricky from Troy.
Well, you know, sometimes the young do try to come out. I was looking at, there were a lot of my old college library at the University of Texas was all over the news last night because there were lines, gigantic lines, people
that's
waiting for
awesome.
Hours and hours and hours.
People library at the University of Texas.
Awesome.
I know. Well, those younger voters were trying to vote. How many of them didn't vote because the lines were so long?
I just
it's
want
ridiculous.
To make the point, yeah. having yeah. spent a lot of time in Austin, that Austin is not the rest of Texas.
I never.
Come on, what?
You can have that point, but. Cities like Houston and Dallas are much more bluer than anybody. I mean, Houston had a lesbian mayor 10 years ago. Houston's a blue city. Austin is not the only liberal place.
I'll give you that.
But let me go back to a point that I made earlier, though, Alan. You know, there has been a systematic, concerted effort on the part of the GOP to make it as difficult as possible for students to vote.
Right. So then, so let's not turn around and blame them for it. I
love them. I got to tell you though, you know, message to everybody out there: you got to vote. I don't care if you're young or old.
Yeah,
I don't care what color you are. If you don't vote, you're going to get stuck with another orange.
I'm just letting that sink in for a second, Bob. Thank you. I just want to get back to the letters, but two things real quick. First, let me ask the panel. With Bloomberg now out of the race, does that put added pressure onto Elizabeth Warren?
Yes, absolutely.
Definitely.
She's the only one left now.
Okay. Well, and Tulsi Gabbard. And
my friend Tulsi.
I'm going to put money in her campaign when I leave just to make sure that you're angry for the rest of the
You guys are supporting her.
I'm
going to
buy Tulsi buttons for us all next week.
We're all agents. Yeah.
I think you're going to way too much trouble. It's much easier than that to upset Rosemary. I don't know. How hard is that?
Stick a Tulsi bumper sticker on your car.
Oh, yeah, I need that.
I promised to do this earlier, and I didn't, so I just want to do it real quick before we get back to the letters. So next up, March 10th, Idaho, Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, North Dakota, Washington. Virgin Islands on the 12th. The 14th is Guam and Wyoming. On the 17th, Arizona, Florida, Illinois, and Ohio. Then on the 24th is Georgia. On the 27th is North Dakota. The 29th is Puerto Rico. And then I'll just go to April 4th is Alaska, Hawaii, Louisiana, Wyoming. Wisconsin is on the 7th. Then we take a long break. On the 28th, Connecticut, Delaware, Maryland, New York, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island.
We got to move our primaries up. The New York voice is lost. I mean,
well,
the
and
governor
the last,
wanted to bring it up to move it up to February, and it's really interesting to imagine what would have happened if he had.
The last primaries are on June 2nd. Virgin Islands do have a caucus, but there is a primary. The last are on June 2nd. Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, South Dakota.
What if it all comes down to South Dakota?
Coming back.
Here we go. Letter time.
Gaffes? Question mark. Hello, panel. Has Biden always been gaffe prone, or is this his age showing?
No.
And that's Jay from Porter Corner.
Always.
He's always been gaffe prone.
Been
but
gaffe
these
prone.
Are not gaffes anymore. This is like scary stuff.
Yeah.
I'm your candidate for the Senate. That was spooky.
Oh, I don't buy that. I think
you
that's
don't?
A slip of the tongue. No, I do stupid just things. You know, people say, oh, you said
not,
this and
I
there, and then
you
listen
you,
back
though.
To the. Well, I know you wouldn't.
They just beep those out for you, Joe. Those
yeah,
don't
I know. But I'm just saying. I mean, I think people make those. I don't know.
He is speaking differently and with less authority than he did during the two previous campaigns. I think that's.
Yeah. Well, he's older.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
he's 77
exactly.
years old.
Right, and he's been through a significant trauma in the last few years.
Right. I mean, I think that makes you know. Anyway.
Anyway, and then Anne said, "Smart voters?" Question mark. Perhaps the voter is smarter than we think. We need Warren in the Senate. Bernie is not good at building coalitions. Biden is a genuine, hardworking person, works and plays well with others, and short-term can bring back the Biden is a and can bring back the people that are polarized and pave a more positive road for the next person to walk. I predict he'll do one term.
He may even say explicitly, I'm only going to do one term.
I doubt it because
kind of like her.
I hope he doesn't.
But also, but
like Rosemary said, the vice presidential choice will be.
It's crucial in this case.
Also, does anybody believe you when you say, I'm only going to do one term? Does anybody believe a politician when they say that anymore?
Well, remember Nancy Pelosi?
They hold them to it.
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi was only going to do one more, and now she's a hero. I doubt very much that's the case.
Although there's a certain part of me that says that, and this is a paradox, that if he comes in with a very strong vice president candidate and he says, I'm going to do one term, that frees him up to really try to clean up the mess that's in Washington. So that he can actually start to put some of the pieces back together again. And in a weird way, it makes him unfettered.
But it could also make him a lame duck. It could also make him a lame duck early on. You know, I mean, it takes a lot of power away to say that I'm not going to run again.
But if the Senate continues to be GOP, it's not just a lame duck. It's going to be gridlock.
And that, by the way, is why this presidential election is going to be so important. Because, and I think why so many people endorsed Biden, they were scared to death that Bernie would be the candidate and they wouldn't win the they'd lose the Congress.
There's a lot of people lighting candles for Ruth Bader Ginsburg's health. I mean, yes.
We had a very interesting letter yesterday that said the ideal vice presidential candidate would be Mrs. Obama, which is ridiculous because if Mrs. Obama had wanted to run, she would have won.
It's ridiculous. We love women as potential candidates. Hillary had 60% approval rating as Secretary of State. As soon as they say, I'd like to be president, you see that.
Well, she did win the popular vote, though. Let's not.
Anyway,
we got to give her credit for that.
I wish you'd count it.
Anyway, Tom from Catskill. One of the things that we learned yesterday is that money does not win elections. Joe Biden had minimal money. An organization invested in all nine states he won yesterday. Lesson learned. If voters like you think you can do the job, they will vote for you, no matter how many petty ads unlikable candidates run.
Is
that true? He had minimum funding?
Yeah.
He did have very little, but he did have incredible name recognition.
He does.
If he had no money and no name recognition, it wouldn't have been.
Here's one little factoid. Joe Biden spent, for Super Tuesday, $21 million. Mike Bloomberg spent $24 million in just Virginia.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing.
It is amazing.
Virginia is such an interesting state.
How ineffective it was is what's so amazing. Yeah. It was so ineffective. It's just amazing.
Well, and this goes back to the free media that we were talking about that Trump had in 2016 and that quite frankly, Joe Biden has gotten over the last 72 hours.
And Bloomberg was getting for a while.
Yes.
I mean, last week when we were all here, he looked, maybe it was 2 weeks ago.
We wrote him off. I wrote him off. I was definitely
I was
wrong.
Watching Morning Joe this morning, I confess.
It's okay.
I thought that Joe himself and Mika were incredibly slavishly devoted to Bloomberg. And it made me scratch my head and say, I wonder what's going on here.
There's one thing about Bloomberg that we're missing in all this. I mean, $500 million is a huge amount of money. And to us, I can't contemplate it. But for him, it was only a fraction of his income.
Yeah.
$61 billion? Hasn't each one of us invested a percentage of our income in some passion, something that you knew was
$5?
Not going
to
really...
Yeah, it's like you and I going to the movies. Normal person giving $500 to a political candidate. People do that.
Or $500 to WAMC, and I got to tell you, we're getting a lot of that.
That's great. Well, credibility
nice
is all...
Nice setup.
That was.
Well, I didn't mean it to be
self-serving. I just threw that to you. I want
ball across,
for that.
Yeah, yeah, ball across the net. That's good.
Credibility is all in the eye of the beholder, and when you step in front of that camera on a live stage with a live mic and a live camera in your face, if the people that are looking at you just don't like you, if they just see someone that they can't relate to, all the money in the world can't fix that.
And you think that was Bloomberg.
And I think that was Bloomberg.
Can I take a contrarian position on the Bloomberg thing? Actually, in a way... His messages, which I thought were terrific, and whoever ran his communication teams, Biden needs to pick up, reminded voters that there's a different way. Okay, that there's that it doesn't have to be all screaming and yelling and name calling and childishness.
How did it remind us he didn't win?
But none of the other Democratic candidates were doing that, though.
No. Understand, it wasn't about the Democrats. It's more about beginning to say to the voters, there's a difference between what the Democrats are saying and what Trump is saying.
Right, but I'm just saying you didn't take Bloomberg to draw that distinction, you know. And
well,
Bloomberg,
he paid for it, so I got to give him a
credit. If you looked at the Bloomberg, one of the real troubling signs if I was on his campaign team was that he was underwater in favorability. You know, his unfavorables were higher than his favorables,
and where was that proven?
That was in the 538. They averaged them all out, and all the other Democratic candidates, Bernie and Biden, were at the top, the most favorable, and all the others were clearly favorable, and he was underwater. And that he just him matching up with the Democratic primary voter was always going to be an awkward fit.
Speaking of polls, speaking of 538, does it interest any of you that that all of the Democratic candidates, I mean all of them, were shown in polling, national polling, to be beating Trump?
Yeah, he really has hurt himself with coronavirus. He is looking really, really bad.
I mean, we talked about this yesterday, but his favorable ratings that were up and nearing 50% are down again. They're back to about 40-45%.
So. It's one thing to be a racist, but it's another thing as the coronavirus comes to a station near you. That people are really concerned about that. There's no fooling around with this thing. And if he says it's a hoax, people get really upset.
One thing other about Bloomberg I want to go back to is that I think Trump showed it, and now it's conclusive. Ads are not the way you win presidential elections anymore. The whole Joe McGinnis era whoever had the best commercials was going to – that's gone. No more Daisy commercials like for Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
It's social media, and it's that likability thing that's also social media driven.
Yeah, very, very important.
All right, let's go to do a few more letters before the break.
Whatever you say, Joe. Barbara says, panel, I voted for Warren. Now I hope she will endorse Biden. We need unity of all the best in the Democratic Party, and that's Barbara from Longmeadow, Massachusetts. And then we heard from John in Valley Falls, Southern States. There's something strange about electing someone who principally received black support in states that will, pardon me, handily elect Trump in November. A better strategy would be to elect someone who gets Hispanic and suburban votes in Midwestern states while holding on to liberal states like California. Is the Democratic primary skewed to give us a loser versus Trump? John Valley Falls.
Well, there is some truth to that. You know, you don't want to run up a bunch of victories in states that you're not going to win in the general election. I think that's why Michigan is going to be such a big Hillary lost Michigan in 2016 to Bernie, and it was a shocker. And it kind of
she didn't act on it.
It was kind of a warning. It was a warning for what might happen in the general election. So there, you know, if Sanders is going to have a chance going forward, he's got to win in Michigan again.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'm curious to know who's on the phone with who right now. Is Biden on the phone with Warren?
I assume they all are.
I think Biden's people are trying to call the Bernie people, and nobody's answering the phone. That's what I think's going on.
Well, and I think
Who's Sanders talking to
Warren for sure. Yeah. He's trying to. I mean, yeah.
I think the big telephone call is who's Obama calling, because when I look at the party, I think he is the one that can hold the standard and help to bring a coalescence of these different coalitions. And I really hope that he doesn't sit on the sidelines.
Well, he hasn't done it yet.
He's got to come out.
People thought maybe he wasn't on the sidelines with the Mayor Pete and the Klobuchar.
Yeah, because he
– that his hidden hand was pushing them.
They both said they got received phone calls.
And that's the – I think that's the power of the Obama legacy and him as a person.
And what if Bloomberg decides to use his unlimited resources to go on full attack against Bernie? What if he decides? I mean, he could do that.
He could.
He could do it undercover. He could do it through a PAC. He could do it in a way that nobody would know it was him.
We have to take a break. Bob has to leave the studio. Bob, thank you very much.
Hey, Bob.
Appreciate it.
We'll be back with more show right after this. Hello, hi, how are you? Welcome back to the program. Very nice to see you. welcome. We have Alan Chartok, Terry Gibson. Bob Griffin had to go to a meeting. He's trying to save the world from coronavirus, and we're going to let him do that.
A crowded meeting.
Somebody's got to do it.
Absolutely. Chris Churchill, Rosemary Armeo. We'll go to letters, and as we continue our coverage of Super Tuesday.
Okay, and we heard from Debbie in Lenox. Hi, panel. From my Massachusetts perspective, Bloomberg's $500 million brought Democrats a backstop in case Biden didn't rebound. My husband had to vote early. After crucial consideration, he made a safe bet for Bloomberg. It would be fine if Bloomberg became the candidate, but better yet, if Biden won and Bloomberg puts all the money into supporting Biden and all the Democratic tickets. This points up some issues with early voting in a volatile world. Along with some of your panelists, I'm feeling more optimistic this morning. Debbie from Lenox.
Yeah, there were a lot of wasted votes with early voting. And there are a lot of people who voted for candidates.
Mine wasn't.
Candidates who dropped out. Well, yeah.
Can't they fix that? Can't there be like a clause, like if you voted for a candidate that dropped out, you get a second chance on election day?
Right choice.
A lot of people are talking about that.
Yeah, because it really is wasteful.
I believe New York City has just adopted it.
Interesting.
Yeah,
a lot of wasted newspaper endorsements too.
Good point. Good point. Klobuchar and Warren. Yeah. Wow. New York Times. You want another shot at that?
Wow.
You know they. I don't want to target the New York Times, but they didn't even have Biden or Sanders in their top four.
No, I know that.
I mean, not really super in touch with the average Democratic voter.
Well, I mean, you can't blame them because we didn't either, Chris. The pundits once again have gotten it.
But you would have said, well, Biden or Bernie will finish in the top four. I mean, part of what this race is there's this kind of technocratic kind of elite side of them, you know, the lawyers and the Wall Street people, which, you know, Warren and Bloomberg represented. And then there's some people call it the wine track and the beer track. And there's the
wine
Bernie's
track and the what?
Beer track.
Yeah. And then there's the Bernies and the Bidens who have more working class appeal. And the technocrats got just washed away. I mean, they did terribly. And the beer track, the beer track did really well.
Anyway, Sarah writes about Fish, P-H-I-S-H.
Oh, yes.
Fish. Remember Fish?
Yeah.
Just want to correct your commentators. Mike Gordon and John Fishman are not former members of the band Fish. They are current members of the band.
I was curious if Trey Anastasio was there, because if he's not there, then Fish isn't there.
That's another good point.
My kids, they always went to see Fish.
Yeah.
And they went fishing. Let's see.
Did you ever go with them?
To fish?
Yeah.
No. I didn't do that. I wasn't a good father. Dems. I'm also sad that the nominee will be another old white guy. Do you think it's because we are fearful that as a nation that's the only hope against Trump? Will the country not yet elect a gay man or woman? I have to keep reminding myself that we are still a young country, but it is frustrating. That's Rose from Westkill. We're a young country, but we have the oldest written constitution in the world.
Can I just ask a question? I'm not saying this is true, but doesn't it speak, and we saw this in the exit polling, and I think to some extent we saw this with the support of Biden versus Sanders, where people are thinking that not necessarily they are racist or that they are sexist, but they are thinking and worried that the rest of the country is.
Genuinely sexist. I think there's a real streak of misogyny here. I mean, Latin America is the continent of machismo, and they have women presidents. There's just something in the American psyche that does not want women at the controls.
But, okay.
All right. And then we also heard from Ed, who writes, you're disappointed.
You're disappointed.
Elizabeth didn't fare better. Your show excelled in disappearing her by repeatedly not including her in your discussion as a brilliant, viable candidate. Instead, you daily bowed to Bloomberg, thus perpetuating and amplifying the misogyny at work here.
I don't agree with that. I think we talked a lot about Warren, but if that were true, wasn't that kind of proven true that she wasn't a viable candidate? I mean, she didn't do very well anywhere.
No,
she finished third in her home state.
And she finished, I think the highest she finished was third in any of the contests. And never polled well. And she had a huge ground game in Iowa.
Yeah.
And got the endorsement for the aforementioned New York Times
and the Des Moines Register.
And
the Des Moines Register.
Yep. And neither one proved to be helpful in the votes. I don't know. I mean, people can yell at us about that, but I think we're just reflecting what was going on in the race, which was that she wasn't doing very well.
One of the things that shows is it's tough to be the front runner. I mean, Elizabeth Warren had a period as a front runner and then quickly came down.
Biden.
When Sanders was the front runner just this last week, it didn't go well for him. And
Buttigieg.
Yeah. And I mean, that's why Biden's facing a little bit of a test.
I think it's a big test for Biden.
But you know, one thing about Warren, she really had that peak right when Bernie had his heart attack. And there's a correlation there.
I think
a lot of those people went back to Sanders when it became clear that he was going to be
okay. That his health was that's a really good point. You're right.
It is an interesting comparison, though, because she is the one candidate that I think she is the most intelligent of the three when you put her between Bernie and Biden. I think she has way more policy experience and understanding, and I think her policies are more thought out. I think she does have a plan to try to actually implement these things and fund them. I don't think Bernie has any idea how he's going to pay for anything. And I think Joe Biden's policy is, kind of vague on any given day. So it's amazing that she hasn't been able to do better. I find that striking.
It goes back to that beer track, wine track thing, which is a cliche, but there is some truth to it. I think if she had run
The wine track or the thinkers?
The beer track.
Harvard. I think people associated her with Harvard more than Oklahoma. If she had been Betsy.
No.
Video had a beer in her hand, for God's sake. Yeah. What do you want?
You're making it way too complicated. She sounded to you men, like your mom and your scolding teacher. And it's Yes, because we women in a sexist culture adopt those same things. And that the little voice in your head just irritates. I mean, my own sister, who had, is a feminist, she doesn't like Elizabeth Warren. She likes her policies. She doesn't like her persona.
And by the way,
a lot of people.
And by the way, when she walked onto those stages and did the wild waving, with her hand up in the air, I don't think that helped her. I think it was over. You know what I'm talking about?
I'm thinking of Bernie with the wild wave.
Was the thing. I mean, Kate McKinnon has made it a part of her impression.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
And it became kind of a tick. Thing
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
The other lesson.
Is that an apology?
I didn't know what you were talking about. Think that hurt her because she put her hands up like that?
We're talking about the leader of the free world, and this is coming down to how somebody waves.
When you attack somebody on the debate stage, you may bring them down, but it doesn't necessarily help you. Like Tulsi
did all right for. What's his name? Donald Trump?
Well, I think, but to
no,
Chris's
but if
point.
You think about it was Chris Christie who took out Marco Rubio, and both of them went. I mean, a lot of times.
Come on, Jeb Bush,
that's true. That's true.
It's for men, it's different when women do it than when men do it.
But Warren, can't you say that Warren is almost single-handedly responsible for the downfall of Michael Bloomberg?
Say Michael Bloomberg was largely responsible for the downfall.
She pulled the trigger.
She held him accountable right there.
I think though
he wasn't ready for it, and he should have been.
I think she probably went too far with the
babies.
The killed thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Chris Matthews gets it for that. I thought his questions to her about that were completely reasonable. How do you know this? Did you know this? Do you know it independently? And she kept saying, no, I know it from, I believe the woman. I believe the man. He took the heat for it.
That story was somewhat verified in the Washington Post story. There was somebody else who says that they heard it. So it's not like just
did that come before the debate, Chris?
Well, you sequence. Could find somebody else who will say something about anybody, couldn't you?
Right.
No, that's a good point.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
No, go ahead. We have 2 minutes and you have a plug.
Yeah, I have a plug. I know you've heard about it before. Please come to International Women's Day, especially now we've been talking today about misogyny and power. International Women's Day at the Belcher Living Center. Sunday, March 3rd, and a whole bunch of the women from the round table.
Where is it at?
It's at the Belcher Living Center. It's Winter Circle. It's near Colony Center.
Okay.
So please come. Yeah, it will be fun.
We've been announcing it for quite a while, even in your absence.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Oh, well, you're welcome.
We will be talking about WAMC, too, because a whole bunch of us from the round table that we love Alan Chartok, and he's always right. And he predicted that this was going to happen, just like he said it was. Wow. Okay?
Sounds like you're going to Disneyland.
Oh, boy. This isn't good.
We heard from
Mary, who said, Biden's win. Though I am disappointed, I think Biden's win was actually predictable. I know that because I did. A lot of people who held their noses and voted for Trump are very comfortable with Biden. He projects a level of humility and humanitarianism that is sorely lacking in the current administration, and that's from Mary.
I hope that's true. I haven't seen any real polling data or evidence on that to support it yet, but I do hope it's true.
He's popular.
Teresa.
He's very popular. Yeah.
I do hope that people that voted for Trump are able to hold their nose and vote for Biden. That's what she's saying. And I just hope that actually turns out to be true.
Teresa says, stop. please stop repeating the DNC echo chamber media talking point about Bernie losing the House to the Dems. You have no basis for believing this and yet have managed to frighten people into believing it. Our fault. Biden is no match for the vicious Trump and will lose to him in November. That's from Teresa. And I hope, Teresa, that if you feel strongly about getting rid of Trump, that you'll be out there voting.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of studies out there that show in the past that the top of the ticket in any election, whether it's mayor or president or whatever it is, the top of the ticket really is what drives voter turnout.
But there wasn't a lot of data to suggest that Bernie would do worse against Trump than Biden.
But down ballot and looking at the House races, and we made this point yesterday, but if you are Tedra Cobb running against Elise Stefanik, and who do you want coming in to support you? Bernie Sanders or Joe Biden?
In that district? Yeah. Bernie Sanders.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I disagree.
I
disagree with you.
Yeah.
Well. How do you figure?
But the upstate New York really likes Bernie Sanders. I mean, that may not be the case in the rest of of America. But if you look at the polling in that Siena poll,
he's not winning that district.
But Tedra Cobb is running
Joe Biden.
Tedra Cobb is in a district where she needs to pull those independent voters, those maybe red leaning voters, and Bernie can't do that.
Oh yes, he can.
You think so?
Yes,
anyway,
yes,
Ann writes Biden and Trump.
No,
good morning, panel. Unfortunately, the general election is not tomorrow. If Biden is nominated, Trump is going to ravage him. Imagine a summer of Burisma hearings, Hunter Biden with no limitations on what Trump can get up to. There's plenty of material with Biden for Trump to attack, unlike with Bernie. Oh, really? Crazy Bernie, which is what the president says about Bernie?
Yeah, I think Bernie? Yeah.
Well, okay. I do think that there's a little bit of underestimating how much baggage that Biden's carrying into this election. Like you said earlier, long history there.
Yeah.
We have to stop talking.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to keep talking, but
yeah, you can keep talking, but nobody's going to hear it.